Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Influence. I'm Michelle Martin. Today in conversation with Paul Byrne, CEO of Currency Fair. According to World Bank estimates, Singapore sent around 6.2 billion US dollars overseas last year. So if you're sending money overseas, you're probably thinking about the best exchange rates, the most competitive exchange rates. Of course, digital safety, keeping your information safe and, you know, wondering whether you're paying the best rates or whether you could save your in terms of the rates that you're paying. We're going to find out what Currency Fair offers you as a consumer. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I understand the whole idea is that Currency Fair hopes to offer transparency and the most competitive rates compared to banks and online platforms here in Singapore. How will you achieve this?
Well, we're basically a technology company. So the way we do it is we basically price against Interbank. Everything is technology driven. So we just do a price comparison against all of the competitors and then we fix our margin. And that's in addition to our customers selling to each other. So the original concept of Currency Fair is a marketplace. So anybody who wants, let's say, to send Singapore dollars to the UK or to the US, they have the option of actually nominating or setting their own rate that they're prepared to sell their currency at. So we then get people coming the opposite way, wanting to buy Singapore dollars. And we match one with the other. And if there's no immediate match, the company steps in and offers the company rate. So because it's a marketplace, then people can actually trade with each other. They can set their own rate. They remain in total control all times of the money. And it's obviously in the secure account at all times. It's their own money. And so consequently, people can get beat interbank rate, beat the wholesale rate, or get the same rate or a better rate than a large corporate might get from a bank.
So you're regulated by MAS and you're also partnering DBS. How are online platforms like yourself moving past, you know, when we think about exchange platforms, people thought about disruption for a long time, but that conversation is shifting now to partnership. Are you seeing increasingly more banks come on as partners?
Yes, they are, because the banks are realizing now that ultimately companies like ourselves are going to be successful. You know, the novelty of fintech has moved on now to reality. And reality is that people like us who offer better service, better exchange rates, faster service, like we do real-time payments anywhere, whereas the bank can't actually do that. So banks are beginning to realize that the best way to actually be successful for themselves is to partner with companies like us. And that's what DBS are doing. In fact, they're partnering with a lot of different organizations in the fintech world, not just money transfer companies, so that they can offer their services and retain a revenue share right from the marketplace rather than be completely disrupted and end up with no revenue at all.
What do you say to consumers listening in, wondering what platforms like yours does with our personal bank details?
Yeah, well, we're a European company originally, so we're regulated by GDPR, which is the most strict data privacy rules in the world. So consequently, you know, we are very aware of data privacy because as Europeans, obviously, we're paranoid about data security. So consequently, all of our consumers worldwide, all the data is protected, it's all secure. The bank information remains completely in their own hands. We don't access a customer's account at all. Only a customer can access their own account. Mm. And only a customer can actually move their own money or do a money transfer on the platform itself. So the company doesn't do anything with your account at all. Everything is self-service, effectively, technology speaking.
So MAS is opening the field to digital banks, including non-banking players. How do you see that impacting the future of banking and the future of platforms like yours?
I think the world is changing. Like, younger people now are much more tech savvy. Everybody has a smartphone. You know, everything is app driven. So what's actually happening is you'll see a lot more aggregation. So you'll see people like ourselves partnering with other companies who offer similar services. So you end up with an aggregated platform of services to consumers. So you basically replace a bank with like a conglomerate of digital offerings, all of whom are partnering with each other. And that's actually where the banks come in as well, because you'll find that banks will be part of that partnering network, basically. So, for example, we may offer money transfer services, but a bank might offer lending to our customers or offer other services to our customers or insurance services. Mm. So that's the way the world is going. And ultimately, consumers will have a choice. They can go for like good service, low pricing, or they can go for premium services, basically, if they choose to. And I think that's the way the world is going. People are taking back control of their financial affairs, not giving up to a bank like they have done for years.
And you see banks still having a future?
Banks will have a future, but it'll be a different future. Like, they will still probably have large private clients, you know, wealthy people who still prefer that one-to-one banking relationship, which fintechs don't really provide, because fintechs are technology-driven companies. So it's more about the overall service and less about the one-to-one. relationship with high net worth individuals. Large corporates will always use banks because their treasury function will be connected with banks. And then banks will make their network available to people like ourselves for transactional banking. So banks will have a future, but it will be a different future.
After your launch here in Singapore, I understand you're looking to Hong Kong. Has the political unrest in Hong Kong affected your growth plans there in any way? Or do you see the potential outflow of funds from Hong Kong in the future should the unrest develop as an opportunity?
Well, like, we invested for the long term, you know, in Hong Kong and in China. Like, we see it as a significant opportunity for our company in terms of providing the same services we provide in Europe and in Australia. And in Singapore, obviously, to Hong Kong and Chinese citizens as well. And China, it's with a partner. So, you know, from our point of view, we're totally committed to Hong Kong and to the Chinese market. We see flows going both ways. You know, some months, because we are live in Hong Kong as well, some months there's more outflows, some months there's more inflows because people are still investing, you know, in Hong Kong. And, you know, ultimately, the whole Greater Bay Area initiative, which is like southern China and Hong Kong and Macau, like that opens up huge economic opportunities for people like ourselves and lots of other companies like construction companies, investment companies, even trading companies. And you'll see more and more Chinese businesses operate through Hong Kong anyway. So that market's not going to change.
And after Hong Kong, what else are you setting your sights on location-wise?
Well, we're currently in the process of getting a license in the UAE, which we hope to get in the next couple of weeks. And we have actually filed a number of applications in probably six other Asian countries. Because from our point of view, we're trying to build a global platform and across Asia. Like, we see this as the Asian century. Like, the fastest economic growing region in the world is Asia. So we're constantly investing to build an Asian platform.
So, Paul, this show is called Influence, and we like to get to know the movers and shakers that markets are talking about. You are the founder of a boutique consultancy, Accelerate Success, which provides mentorship to potential high-growth software companies. What are you advising they look at if they want to scale up in this day and age?
Well, the biggest, I suppose, growth inhibitor for small companies starting off is usually access to capital first and then access to talent. So obviously, I provide some capital for myself to some of these startups, but more importantly, I advise them on how to actually get good talent in, how to go and find people who are prepared to come on and work and scale their businesses globally with them. And then I basically help them network into the relevant markets, whether it's the US or Europe, in terms of building a sales culture.
Can you share some case studies maybe of businesses that you've helped?
Yeah, well, the one that's probably most well-known in Europe at the moment is a company called Brightflag, and they do legal software. So at the moment, they're number one in Australia, and they're probably number two or number three in the US. And the business is going about 2 or 3 years, so it's been very successful. I also mentor a lot of female founder businesses at the moment, but they're very early-stage startups. So they're just getting off the ground.
That's great to hear. Before we end, what do you see as the next wave of change for this industry, the money transfer industry?
I think there'll be continued digitization. I think the next move will be much more around more investment in KYC, know your customer, digital identity, in terms of being able to validate who your customers really are. There's going to be continued monitoring of data privacy and the sharing of data, which in terms of verifying identity with other parties. And then you'll see, I think, more and more partnerships. You'll definitely see a lot more partnerships between banks and fintech companies, like or people like ourselves, in order to provide additional services, basically to insurance services, whether it's life insurance, health insurance, short-term lending services to people who actually have a short-term need. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see a constant evolution of the industry.
CEO of Currency Fair, Paul Byrne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.